11. Saint. I stand next to her bed while she lies tied to it. She's naked and her body shakes from spending another night coming for me on her vibrator. She needed out of her own head. Her mother and her therapist have spent years brainwashing my sweetheart. I've only been doing it for a couple of days, but I'm going to win. I'll make sure of it. Putting the vibrator back in her nightstand, I then begin to untie her. Once her legs and arms are free, I crawl onto her bed, and she rolls into me, burying her face into my chest. She sobs, and I wrap my arms around her. I'm not sure if it's from overstimulation or her session with her mother's therapist. It could be a combination of both, really. I lie on my side, fully dressed, while she clings to me naked until her sobs subside and her body softens. I gently roll her onto her back and run my knuckles down her soft cheeks. They're still wet from her tears that she cried while she begged me to stop. I didn't. It's for the best. I want her to know it's okay to want something that others see as inappropriate. If she were to wake up right now and tell me that she wanted me to tie her down and line men up to fuck her, I wouldn't judge her. I'd tell her fuck no, but I wouldn't think any less of her. My cell rings and I stand to remove it from my pocket. Dad flashes across my screen and I answer. Hello?
I need you at Carnage, he says in greeting. Now!
Sighing, I look over her sleeping body, knowing she's had enough for tonight. Be right there. He hangs up and I pocket my cell. Leaning over the bed, I give her forehead a soft kiss, then cover her sleeping body with the covers. I exit her house, locking it up and placing my key into my pocket. She has no clue I made one when her dad bought her the house last year. As I walk down the steps, my cell rings again, and I growl, pulling it out. What now? It's Hayden. Hey, where are you? He demands, sounding pissy. On my way to Carnage. I avoid telling him I'm at Ashton's. It's none of his business where I am. He hangs up without saying another word, and I pocket my phone once more. Approaching my bike parked in her driveway, I remove my helmet from where it hangs off my mirror. Usually I take it with me everywhere I go so no one can steal it, but that won't happen at her place. It's a gated community. They have two guards who are at their gate 24/7. After I slide it over my head, I fasten it under my chin. Then I pick up my leather jacket that I had lying over the seat and pull it on as well. It's not for safety, more for the fact that it hides who I am while on it. Lords are raised to wear masks and cloaks most of the time. We're placed in a world where no one knows our power. We've had to hide our true identity for years. It's a hard habit to break. Starting up the bike, I put it in gear and take off out of her driveway. I'm headed to Carnage to find out what the fuck is going on. Carnage is a city of its own, covering hundreds of thousands of acres in the middle of nowhere, tucked into the mountains. Although we're lords, we are meant to be secluded. One day we'll run this place that no one knows exists, and although I never wanted it, I've accepted it. I stop at the gate, pressing in the code, and it opens, allowing me entry. I rev the engine on the bike before taking off through it and lean into the curves more than I need to on the winding road lined with trees. I come up to the circle drive when the main building comes into view, but I take the side road, going behind it. I park my bike at the back and get off, then remove my helmet and jacket, leaving them both with the bike. Rushing up the steps, I enter the back entrance and take the elevator down to the basement. If our fathers want us here, it's only for one reason. Stepping off the elevator, I suck in a breath of cold air and walk down the hallway to the open room. Hayden leans against the wall, arms crossed over his chest. Cashton sits in a chair, leaning back comfortably. Adam stands in the middle, glaring at his father, who stares at me like he knows I've spent the past 2 days tying his daughter to her bed and forcing her to come for me until she's a sobbing, blubbering mess. I want her mind filled with me, every thought she has consumed by me. I'm going to erase everything and anything her piece of shit mother has put into her head. All she'll know is begging, crawling, and coming for me. Boys, my father states, entering behind me. Is there a reason we're here? Cash asks with a sigh, looking down at his watch. He was obviously in the middle of something when he received his phone call to come here.
Yes, my father claps his hands once, and it's going to take all night, so cancel whatever plans you have.
Ashton, it's been a week since Saint started training my body. I'm always sore, my body is weak, but it's working. All I think about is when he'll show up and tie me down and force me to come. I look forward to it. I go to classes during the day, then rush home, get naked, and shower, so I'm ready for whenever he decides to show up. It's been less and less the past few days. I've been getting texts about him having to be at Carnage. I don't know why, but I feel my father has something to do with it. My mother has been blowing up my phone. I've missed two appointments with her and her therapist this week because I was coming all over myself while Saint told me I was his good girl. So when he canceled on me again tonight, I decided to call Whitney. She's always up for going out and getting drunk. I'm on my third drink and feeling pretty good. We're out at the field with bonfires, and I stand in the center of it, looking over at the woods and remembering how he tied me up, stripped me naked, and spanked my ass in front of Cashton and Hayden. The Sharpie words have almost faded completely, and the marks from the belt have healed. It no longer hurts to sit down or shower. I want him to do it again. Maybe I'll ignore him the next time he calls, so he'll punish me.
Here you go.
Whitney comes up next to me, handing me a new drink. Thanks, I mumble.
Why are you in such a funk?
She asks, taking a sip of hers.
Don't tell me it's over Saint.
When I don't answer, she rolls her eyes.
He's not worth it, Ash. I promise you, there's someone better out there for you.
She takes another sip, and her eyes zero in over the rim of her cup as Tyson Crawford walks by with a group of guys from Barrington. I take a drink from the cup, and then another. My body is begging to get off tonight. In less than a week, I've become a needy slut for Saint and my vibrator just like he wants. I can't imagine what it'll be like once he can actually fuck me, but I'm looking forward to it. My cell rings, and I pull it out of my back pocket to see it's my mother. I press ignore and go to put it back, but it immediately rings again. Hello? She's not going to stop.
Where are you at?
She demands. I look around at the party in the middle of nowhere and take another sip of my drink. Home?
Don't lie to me, Ashton. I'm at your house right now.
I can't help but laugh. I'm not wasted, but I feel pretty good.
Ashton!
She screams in my ear.
I'll be home later.
I hang up and turn off my cell, knowing she won't stop. I'll call her tomorrow. Maybe. I lift the cup to my lips, and instead of taking a sip this time, I suck it down. Holding my breath, I swallow as much as I can and gasp when I pull it away. Looking into the cup, I find it only has a little left, so I down the rest. Walking over to the table, I set my empty cup down and ask, "Another, please."
Have you seen this?
Whitney asks, holding her phone out to me. She's got her social media pulled up. It's a picture of a bleach blonde. She's smiling while wearing a black and gold cheerleader uniform. Her bright blue eyes shine, and her bleached teeth sparkle. No? Who is it? I ask, waiting for my new drink.
She's gone missing.
She slides to a video, and it shows the girl walking through a parking lot and getting into a white BMW.
This was the last place she was seen.
Whitney goes on.
Found her car 2 miles down the road from the football field. Abandoned. No purse, no phone, nothing. It was still running, and the driver's side door was wide open.
Here you go.
The guy hands me a fresh drink, and I thank him. When we start to walk away from the table, she speaks.
I heard that Adam was the last one to see her.
I come to a stop with my drink paused at my lips. I frown, shaking my head. Don't believe everything you hear.
My brother is a douche, and I hate him most days, but he doesn't kidnap women. My father would kill him if that were the case. The Lords are too important for him to be fucking his chances. And a Lord involved with something like this would get the Lord's attention. A thought hits me, and I think back to the argument my father was having with my brother the other day at their house. And my pulse begins to race. Surely he's not involved. I don't believe it. Adam would never. I throw back my drink and gulp it down. Hours later, Whitney pulls up to my house, and I stumble inside. I'm dying of thirst, so I make my way to the kitchen to grab a water. Flipping on the lights, I blink rapidly at the harshness. I come to a stumbling stop when I see Saint sitting at my kitchen table. He's dressed in his black hoodie, dark jeans, and his mask. The rope he uses to tie me to my bed sits on top of the table in front of him. As much as I want to do a training session, I'm too drunk for that tonight. You? I hiccup. Can leave. I reach down and remove my shirt, tossing it across the room. Then I stumble from foot to foot as I kick off my shoes. While I make my way to the fridge, I undo my jeans. Opening it up, I lean over and grab what I want. I close the door to find him now standing beside it. I mean it. He wraps his hand around my throat, squeezing and taking away my air. My hand drops the water and I go limp. My eyes instantly grow heavy as my vision goes in and out while staring into his black eyes on the mask. I've drunk too much. My body can't fight him, and it doesn't want to. My lips part, and I try to suck in a breath, but all it does is make my pussy throb when I get nothing. Hands grab my body, and my arms are pulled behind my back. Something is placed around them, and I can't pull them apart. He lets go of my neck, and I fall to my knees, unable to hold myself up. The room spins, and I suck in a breath that burns my throat. I begin to cough. A fist grabs my hair, and my head is yanked up. I see three blurry figures. Two stand in front of me, and one at my back holds my head up. I blink, my eyes so heavy. Not tonight, Saint. I slur, my tongue heavy. I can't. I'm too tired. I drink too much. The thought of his fingers down my throat makes me want to gag. I'm going to get sick soon. The hand in my hair lets go, and my head falls forward. Unable to stop myself because I no longer have use of my hands, I fall face first to the floor and shiver at how cold the marble is. My eyes close as I'm lifted into the air.